When valiant Buccleuch charged his foes, and put the rebel Scots to fight, full many a gallant squire arose, and rushed into the fight. From sturdy Mars they all did spring, and by the dint of spur and switch, could make the steeds to kick and fling, and leap o'er enemy like ditch. But lo, amidst this furious train of matchless wights appeared one, with courage and with prowess main, as ever yet was shown. Of visage dark as day of doom, most pitifully rent and tore, shows him a warrior in the womb, that wounds received ere he was born. His breast all steel of temper tough, and Falstaff's belly decked with charms, with Brandon's head all called in buff, secure from Scottish arms. Full 6 foot deep in stature he, a goodly sight for to behold, of parentage and pedigree, most wondrous to unfold. Not generous whore of better kind, nor stallion stout of metal hire, then is the fierce undaunted mind of this our lofty squire. But that you may believe his race was such as we dare brag on, know to Saint George he kinsman was, and son and heir to the dragon. From that bold knight he valor gained, and from the venom of this sire, the gift of swelling he obtained, and eke of spitting fire. At 2 months' age from mother's paps, he sucked out bullets stead of milk, which rowling in his warlike chaps, they turned as soft as silk. With this rank food he fed some years, till he so strong a stomach got, that he could swallow down whole spears, and mumble cannon shot. Did he but hear those furies roar, he'd rush into the heat of battle, and bowels combustion from the boar, as 'twere from mouth of sucking bottle. No armor needful was in fight, nor cared he for the powerful shield. He valued courage not a doit to man him in the dreadful field. For let the whiffling bullet stray, 'tis no matter whether thick or thinner, his only business was to pray they'd shoot him down his dinner. Thus dieted gainst Scottish loon, he proudly trooped by Monmouth's side, accoutred with a knife and spoon, which all their arms defied. But as the Duke right manfully marched on his stubborn foes to meet, he all beshit the shot which he so likely was to eat. Behind his grace he tamely slunk, supposed from wounds his breech to keep, and at each thundering volley shrunk, like hog-louse in a heap. Most piteously he there did shrug, and cursed a thousand times damned Mars, then popped down head to save each lug, and worshipped royal arse. Full sore he stunk, whilst helter-skelter he heard the ammunition skim, for still as he would seek new shelter, fear like gun sticks scoured him. Yet did our hero scape the brunt, through ghostly skill to disappear, for like a duck he dived i' the front, and rose again i' the rear, where safe as a surgeon in the hold, with sword sharp set for a cruel blow, he huffed and puffed, looked big and bold, and struck the soil where beard should grow. Then with his trusty whinyard he, all mancer flashing through the air, cried like the tailor to the tree, "Here I could have you, sir, and there." Thus did he brandishing proceed, till the desperate warlike minion made the individual atoms bleed, and peeled them like an onion, this without pity to spare, those which he breathed as if he meant revenge on the philosopher that says our world is accident. His waiting genius eke also, with world of pains and muckle do, from scabbard salted as I trow, a pickled weapon drew. To lord and master true he stuck, and ventured full as hard as he, for 'twas the way to meet good luck and be from dangers free. The lusty loon came on behind, and in his mighty cloak back caught that courage blown away by the wind with which the esquire should have fought. The sprightly wallet gan to jump, possessed with these almighty charms, and bidding long farewell to Rump, was in a moment up in arms. The noble champion bravely then began to smile and take good cheer. 'Twas time to lay about him when portmanteau turned a volunteer. "March on, my darlings," then quoth he, "for lo, the battle's at a stand, and 'tis ordained that only we should tame this uncouth land." This said, into a body they with martial skill drew up their force, consisting, as you heard me say, of cloak, bag, and 2 horse. But alack and weel a day, the canny duke, God bless his grace, ere these 3 wights could reach their prey, had laid it dead upon the place. The squire all fury took it ill, for sorely he began to maunder, and cause he left no foes to kill, wept out like Alexander. Yet when he ceased to sob and frown, quoth he, "What though the kerns are slain, to save my honor and renown, I'll kill them all again. With that his poniard forth he draws, thus death himself proved mortal too, for napping in a dead man's jaws, he ran him through and through. This was his zeal and loyalty, and fear of being credit shammed. He guard each treacherous Scot twice dee, in hopes he might be double damned. Thus to St. George he has o'ercome, and stabbed the mighty hero's fame. Honor he leaves him not a crumb, all's due to him's name. He now as England's champion reigns, 'tis he alone is born to rule, to bind the quarrelsome in chains, and call a giant fool.